Welcome to another inspirational message courtesy of BibleCities.com. For more teachings like this and other free Christian resources, please visit our website at www.BibleCities.com. Now let's join Reverend Slide Moran as he delivers another powerful teaching from the Word of God.
Are you ready to receive from the Word of God today? I'd like to make a confession of faith regarding our Bible. And you know that I like to make it boldly so that everybody knows, amen, not only just the folks sitting in this room, but the devil and the neighbors and anybody else knows what we say about what we believe regarding the Bible, right? So take your Bible and boldly proclaim this. This is my Bible. It's God's Word to me. Today, God will speak to me through this Word by His Spirit. I'll believe it. I'll do it. I'll understand it. I'll have it. Because I am what God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. Today, God will show me the truth, correct any error, and I'll learn, and I'll grow, and I'll know, and I'll see the way I should, and my life will never be the same. In Jesus' name, glory to God. That's true. And you know, when we approach the Word of God that way, we'll have what God says we can have when we approach the Word of God that way. Not everybody believes that the Word of God is the Word of God. You know, there's a lot of Christians that don't believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. Did you know that there's a lot of Christians that don't believe that the Word of God is the Word of God? There's a lot of Christians. Now, they're born again, and we'll see them in heaven. But they still don't believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. Isn't that terrible? It's bad enough that the world doesn't believe that. But when the church doesn't believe that or has a hard time believing that. Of course, we all would sit there and say, well, I believe that it's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, if we believe that it's the Word of God, why wouldn't we actually believe what He said? Because He's saying that we believe it and then believing what it says are two different things. Because not everybody believes what it says. They believe it says it. I've always believed that it says it. All I have to do is open it up and look in it, and I can see that it says it. I don't even have to use my faith to believe that it says it, because I can just open up the Word, and I can just read a sentence. It's proven that it says it. I don't even need faith to know that. Amen? You know, I could go out on the street and take somebody who's never seen the Bible in their life, but reads English, and then open it up and say, look at what it says right here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, lest any man should boast. There is no other name given to men under heaven whereby men must be saved. Do you see that? And they would say, yeah. And I would say, do you believe that it says that? And they would say, yeah, I can see it. But you know, they could still end up in hell. Because even if you know that it says that, it doesn't help us if we don't believe what it says. We have to believe what it says. We know that 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica said, I thank my God that when you received the word that you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. How many of you know that a whole lot of people think the Bible was written by men? No, it was penned by men, but it was written by God. And he said, I thank my God that when you received the word that you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. And that is what? The Word of God. This is the Word of God. Our help, our answers are in here. They are in here. And you know, if we will believe what it says and do what it says, the way it says to do it. Now, did you hear me? If we will believe what it says and then do what it says the way it says to do it, not the way we think we should do it, the way it says to do it. Follow the instruction. God tells us that if we'll do that, then we'll have what it says we will have when we believe it and do it the way it says to do it. Amen? And every man here, and maybe some of the women too, especially I'm sure you've seen your men take something out of a box where it says some assembly required, and then they don't bother looking at the instructions and go ahead and start assembling, and then they find out that, well, now this didn't quite turn out the way I thought it would. There's some things, parts missing here, and I don't know where they go. Well, you didn't follow the instructions. Go back, and now you got to tear the whole thing apart. Go right back to the beginning and start. Because if you want that thing to work, you better assemble it the way the instructions say to assemble it. Otherwise, you may have trouble. Well, you know, that's what Christians and people do with the Word of God. They don't bother to follow the instruction manual, and then they wonder why they have something that's not working. Did you hear me? Now, that's what Jesus said to the Pharisees, because that's what the Pharisees were doing. See, they were taking the Word of God, and they were just trying to make it fit what they believed. Did you hear me? They were just taking the Word of God and trying to make it fit what they believed, what they thought. No, that's not the way to do it. We're supposed to take what we believe and turn that and come bring it into a line with the Word. Amen. Not the other way around. And so what the Pharisees had was they had a lot of traditional teachings, just like there is in the church today. A lot of tradition. No power. A lot of tradition. A lot of ideas. A lot of programs. A lot of stuff. A lot of works. But no power. And Jesus said the same thing to the Pharisees that he's saying to the church today. He said, you have nullified the Word of God, making it of no effect, taking all the power out of it, because you're teaching as commandments the doctrines and the traditions of men. Well, you see, there's no power in that. The power is in God's Word. God said, as far as His Word, He says, I'll hasten to perform my Word. I'm not going to hasten to perform yours. I'm going to hasten to perform mine. If I didn't say it, I'm under no obligation to do it as far as God is concerned. But if I said it, I'll do it. Well, you know, when I began to learn that principle and then began to apply that principle, isn't that something? I actually began to do it the way it says to do it. You know, I began to see what it said I would see. I began to have what it said I would have. Well, now that's the way to go. You know, we want results, don't we? I don't want to spend 6 months waiting for something that I needed 7 months ago.
Right.
Amen. I don't. When I'm sick today, I don't want to wait 5 years and hope that some doctor's going to be able to do something and maybe I can get God's attention. Everybody's given me all kinds of ideas, and all of the ideas are bad. And then I turn on the TV and they tell me about this prescription, and that's all well and good until they start talking real fast about all the side effects. You know, I want help now. When I hurt right now, I want help right now. Amen? Amen. And the Word of God tells us that faith is now. And it's by faith that we have access into those things. Amen. And this world and this church, not necessarily this church, but the church, is filled with folks who are going through tests and trials and troubles and tribulations and afflictions. And very few know how to overcome them, know how to actually successfully get out of it and move into the victory that the Word of God promises. Doesn't the Word of God tell us in Romans, talking about all the things that may come against us, in all these things, we're more than conquerors. Through Christ. More than conquerors. In all these things. Not in some of these things. Not in most of these things. Name something. Sickness. Name something. Hunger. Name something. Poverty. Name something. Lack. Name something. Anxiety. Name something.
Drugs.
Doubt. Stress. Oppression, depression, debt. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. That's what God said. Anything that is not a good thing. And you know, unfortunately, for some reason, the church seems to be confused about what is good and what is not. You know, you can go and take a 5-year-old child who has never read the Bible, poke them in the eye, and they'll tell you that's bad. That's bad. Now, don't go poking any five-year-olds in the eye. The point is, they understand that pain and suffering is not good. Why do people think that God somehow or another thinks it is and goes ahead and gives it to them to teach them a lesson? God doesn't do that stuff. He doesn't have any pain and suffering to give people. Is there any pain and suffering in heaven?
No.
Why do you think that is? Because it's God's will that there not be any pain and suffering in heaven. Isn't that right? Have you ever prayed the prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth even as it is in heaven. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Well, then why would the church be confused about what God's will is regarding pain, suffering, healing, and health? I mean, they pray themselves, Lord, let your will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven. But somehow or another, they think it's God's will for them to be sick. And it's the same thing with debt and poverty and lack. Is there any debt, poverty, and lack in heaven? Why would people think that it's God's will for people to be poor and humble? Did you know you can be poor and proud? And there's people that say that, I'm poor and I'm proud.
Yeah.
Humbleness, humility, and poverty don't necessarily go hand in hand. But see, people think, well, you know, if God wanted me to be rich, he'd have made me rich. You haven't read the Bible, it says he did. 2 Corinthians 8, 9 says, For you know the grace of God, though he was rich, he became poor for our sake, so that through his poverty you might be made rich. You understand that the body of Christ has been made rich. The Word of God says, My God will supply a few of your needs. Depends on whether he's got enough. Is that what it says? No, it says, My God will supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It says that in Philippians 4, 19. Why then would we think it's God's will for him not to? But people get confused about that stuff. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. How do we know that? Where does the Word say that? Romans 8. But these things come against people. And the Word promises, thank God, thank God, thank God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, right? So we should be triumphing all the time. Isn't that right? Not some of the time, all of the time. All of the time. But you know, there's folks that are still in wheelchairs because they think that's where God put them and that's where God wants them. There's folks that lose when they go out and they apply for jobs that they know that that's the job that God wants for them. But they walk away from it and they say, well, that must not have been God's will for me to have that thing. Well, I thought that God said he always causes you to triumph. Did he change his mind? No, he didn't. God always wants us to triumph. Amen.
Amen.
How do we know that? Because God says that. And the Word of God tells us that whosoever is born of God is going to have the world stomp the tar out of him.
No.
Is that what it says?
No.
No, it says whosoever is born of God. Are you born of God?
Yes.
How do you know? Because the Word says that if you will confess the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved.
Amen.
Born again.
Amen.
Amen. So you're born of the Spirit of God, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So it says, whoever. Are you a whoever?
Yeah.
Did you notice if you look in 1 John 5:4, you might notice in your Bible that it does not say, whosoever is born of God, except for Sister Katie. You'll notice there is no parenthesis and no italic. Whosoever is born of God except for Mother Butcher. Whosoever is born of God except for Sister Lynette. Everybody but her. Everybody except for Minister Paul. Because, you know, God isn't real happy with that hat. Well, see, folks think that way. Whosoever is born of God, and then they read in parentheses, or they think anyway, except for me, because God isn't real happy with me for some reason. I'm no longer accepted in the beloved. I'm unacceptable. I am no longer righteous before him. And Jesus' work on the cross was not enough. It was not sufficient for me. That's how they think. They think that way because they hear others talk that way. Some folks teach that way. Some people have written books about it. I've heard ministers call Christians names. Nasty, filthy old selves. Let me tell you something. That's not how God sees us. And the Word of God tells us, do not call unclean or common that which God has cleansed. Don't touch God's anointed.
Yeah.
And every child of God is anointed by the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
And we don't mess with them. Whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Well, that's easy to say. We've talked about that, haven't we? See, we're more than conquerors. We always triumph in Christ. We're overcomers, glory to God, until the pressure comes. Suddenly we're defeated. Suddenly we're going under. And unfortunately, we're not going to triumph this time. This time, the devil's been attacking me all week, and he's been winning. Because that's how folks think. Listen, instead of telling me about how the devil's been attacking you all week, why don't you tell me how God's been giving you the victory all week?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me how God has been giving you the strength all week?
Yeah.
Why don't you tell me how God has made you an overcomer all week? Why don't you tell me about how you've been walking in the strength and power and health and healing, deliverance and redemption of God? Instead of telling me about what that stinking lying devil has been lying to you about. I don't want to hear his lies. He's a liar. If he tells you you can't make it, you know for a surety that not only you can, but you have. It's a lie. If he tells you something, it's a lie. You're not going to make it. That tells you right there, you are. You don't know enough. That tells you right there, you do. You can't handle this. That tells you right there, you can. You're going under. That tells you right there, you're an overcomer. See, you need to understand this. We need to understand these things. See, all these things come against all the people. It comes against everybody. Trouble is most folks, most Christians, don't have a clue what to do when these things come. First of all, they're shocked. I don't understand this. I'm born again. How come this stuff is still coming against me? I'm born again. Well, the reason why you're shocked and surprised is because you haven't read the Word. First of all, he tells us right out, don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be amazed. Don't be bewildered. Tells us that in 1 Peter. I mean, we've got the Word of God on it. Don't be shocked. Don't be bewildered. Don't be surprised at this stuff. Man, ask us the question, why are you surprised at this fiery trial that's come upon you? What's your problem? Are you stupid? Amen. Isn't that what it says? Don't be surprised. Isn't that what it tells us? Don't be surprised. And yet most Christians are what?
Surprised.
Don't be shocked. I don't understand this. No one in my family has ever experienced anything like this. The doctor tells me that he can't understand it. This is not genetic. I don't understand where it came from. I'm shocked. Yet the Word of God tells us, don't be shocked. I talk to ministers who are supposed to be teaching their folks, and they're surprised. They're bewildered. They're confused. I'm confused. I mean, I know that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. I know it. And I'm confused. I don't understand, Pastor, why we're going through this stuff. Well, have you ever read 1 Peter 4:12, where it says, don't be confused about this fiery trial that's coming upon you? Don't be confused about it? I've been praying about this, and I just don't understand. It just seems like the more I pray, the worse things get. Well, why are you surprised at that? The Word of God says you're going to go through a fiery trial. No, but I'm born again. See, I'm a child of God. Haven't I been redeemed from the curse? Yeah. Well, if I've been redeemed from the curse, have we been? Yes, we have. Why is all this stuff coming? Why am I still going through all these things? I don't understand it. I'm still going through tests and trials and troubles and tribulations and afflictions. I don't get it. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. Confused. What did the Word of God say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them. So why are you confused about the fact that there's many afflictions that come your way? The Lord said there would be. All those that would live godly. Are you living godly? Are you living godly? All those that would live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All those that would live godly in Christ Jesus. If you're living godly, you can expect persecution. So why be surprised and confused about it when it comes? Jesus said, in this world. Are you in this world? Now, you're not of the world, but you're in the world, right? We're in this world. And Jesus said, in this world, this one right here, the one you live in, the one that you're sitting in right now, the one that you sleep in at night, the one that you sit at your table and eat dinner with, the one that you go to your job in, not a different one, this one. In this world, you will have trouble. You will. Jesus said that. You know, if Jesus said it, as sister said, you can count on it. You will have trouble. Well, I'm so confused. I don't understand. Are you in the world? Yes. Well, then you'll have troubles. But read the second part. But take heart, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Well, that's great for you, Jesus. You've overcome the world. I'm stuck here with all this stuff. Wrong. The reason why he told us is that he's overcome the world is because we're in him. And we're supposed to overcome it too. Do you understand that Jesus had to overcome the world? He had to overcome it. You understand that Jesus was constantly and continually under threat of death. From the time he was born, from the time he came into this world, he was under threat of death. The king went out, not only was that threat so bad that he wanted to kill Jesus, he killed the whole town just to make sure he got him. Killed all the kids just to make sure he got him. He missed him. Amen. But from the time he was born, he was under threat of death. Amen. And from the first time he opened his mouth and began to preach, they tried to throw him off a cliff. But we whine, oh, I don't have enough for my light bill. Well, when was the last time somebody tried to throw you over a cliff? As the apostle wrote in Hebrews, you haven't yet resisted unto blood. I mean, you haven't even shed any blood over the deal yet, and you're whining about it. Amen. Listen, you see, we understand these things. There are troubles, there's tests, there's trials, there's persecutions, there's afflictions. They're going to come. And we don't need to be surprised, shocked, bewildered, confused, amazed about the thing. I mean, we're Christians, we should know this, but you know, most Christians don't. But we need to know this stuff. Do you understand that Jesus told us, speaking through the prophet Hosea, in chapter 4, verse 6, he said, my people are destroyed because they don't know what they should know. It says, for a lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed. Why? Because they don't know what they need to know. Do you understand that Christians today go to the grave early because they didn't know what they needed to know about healing and health? Do you know that Christians today have to go through poverty and lack and bankruptcy and, you know, chronic debt and things like that because they don't know what they need to know? We, of course, in the fivefold ministry, that would be the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. I mean, we can teach you as best we can, but you understand that we are not entirely responsible for what you know. You have the Word of God that you're supposed to get into yourself and learn these things on your own time. And the amount of time that you devote to it will determine the amount of knowledge that you obtain. Did you hear me? I mean, if you leave your Bible sitting on the coffee table while you watch TV all night and never learn anything about you until Sunday or Wednesday or Monday Bible study, you're going to be sorely lacking in knowledge. You're going to know a lot about the TV programs and very little about the Word. And let me tell you something, when it comes time for health and healing, deliverance and everything else, as long as that TV is your God and supplying you what you need, spend all the time you want. But if not, you might want to spend time with the Word of God. Because the Word of God tells us that where a man's treasure is, that's where his heart is too. And if you know everything that there is to know about all of this stuff, don't bother, because you know it. But if you don't know everything there is to know, then perhaps we should spend just a little bit of time learning what it is we need to know. Because how many of you have noticed that things are not necessarily getting better in the world? Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that when you turn on the news, it's always bad? Have you noticed that? Hey, that's why a lot of folks don't like to watch the news, because it's always bad. And frankly, if I were you and you don't know what you need to know, I would not watch the news, because the news will give you the bad report, which you will believe and act upon. It will affect you. And then you'll make decisions based upon what the news commentators say instead of what God has said. Amen. See, we need to know these things, right? So we're talking about overcoming tests, trials, troubles, and afflictions. And we found out something about these things, and that is that one of the ways, or the best way, to overcome these things is to avoid them to begin with. Just avoid them. Now, there are some things that we're not going to avoid. But there are a lot of things that we open the door to ourselves through our actions. Amen. I mean, for example, do you know that every person that's in debt, they're in debt because they borrowed money? Did you know that? You understand that, right? Did you know that to go out and buy something that you can't afford is a sure way to guarantee that you are not going to have enough to take care of yourself and your family? To go out and buy something with money that you don't have, you are inviting poverty into your home. You're inviting it. Because you can't afford it, and now you have to pay for it, which means you're going to have to take money that could have paid your mortgage, it could have paid your rent, it could have paid for your food, it could have bought clothing, it could have taken care of the car payment, the insurance payment, taking care of the child, the school supplies for the kid, and everything else. But instead, you had to have that. And then we go ahead and say, Lord, I can't, debt cancellation. That doesn't work. You see, if we haven't learned good stewardship, good fiscal accountability, now God is merciful, amen? And when we do something out of ignorance, praise God, His mercy endures forever. But it's one thing to do something out of ignorance, in other words, lacking knowledge. It's another thing to reject knowledge. And when we've been taught this stuff and we do it anyway, you can pretty much guarantee you're going to have a hard time. God will help you, but you're going to have a hard time. It's going to be tough. My wife and I learned that firsthand, how to go out and spend money we don't have on things that we don't need and can't afford. And we found out that God will help you, but it's a hard time. And it was a hard lesson. And we learned something called good stewardship. God taught us good stewardship because we wanted to come out of it and we didn't ever want to go back in it.
Amen.
Amen. See, those kinds of things, we can just invite trouble. Didn't the Word of God tell us, give no place to the devil? Don't give any place to the devil. If we act in opposition to the Word of God, we are giving place to the devil. Are you getting this? If we act and do something contrary to what the principles of God are, we are opening the door to the enemy into our life, and you are inviting trials and troubles, tribulations and afflictions. And you're the one that opened the door. You just opened the door and said, come on in and have your way. Knock yourself out, and me too. Strife will do that. You know what strife is, right? That's not just an argument. That's just a manifestation of strife. But strife is you and somebody else. You are not walking together in love and agreement and peace and harmony. Now, most times that's between a husband and a wife. Sometimes it's between a person and their boss. Now and then, it's between their children and the parents. Don't get into strife. Because the Word of God tells us right out that where strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Well, how important is it for us to stay out of strife? Let me just give you some advice. The next time you're thinking about or being tempted to get into strife, open up your wallet and see how much money's in there. See whether you can afford it. Just go ahead and check your checking account or your bank account. See whether you can afford to be in strife because you're paying for it. Amen. And if you don't have the money in the account right now to pay for it, that's okay. The devil will just hold it back. He'll just garnish your money. Put a freeze on your account, and when you are expecting a check and it's not coming. Why? Because you're paying for the strife. Amen. Or your body. It could be something in your body. Here we are believing God for healing, but I'm in strife. No. Why? Because we opened the door. We said, come on in, take my health. Come on in, take my sight. Come on, take my hearing, take my knees, take whatever. Come on in, take it. I don't need it. I can afford it. Really? I don't think so. Get out of strife. Don't be in strife with anybody. See, we opened the door to these things. Anger, strife, pride. Doesn't the Word of God say that pride goes before destruction? Doesn't it say that God resists the proud? So here we are, we're all proud about ourselves. I'm not going to church. I'm not going. I don't have to go. I'm not going. I know enough. And besides that, he teaches the same thing all the time anyway, so I'm not going. I know more than the pastor does. I should be the pastor. I'm not going. Well, you know, that's pride. I'm going to tell the pastor what I think you should teach. That's pride. That's just pride. You don't know what you think you know. Amen. And the Word of God says that goes before destruction. So here we are believing God for blessing, and we've got our pride out there just inviting destruction into our life. And then we blame the devil. Oh, the devil's been attacking me all week. Well, who opened the door? Who let him in? Who said, come on in? Who sent him out an engraved invitation and said, I am open to destruction. Knock yourself out, and me too. If we want to overcome these things, the best way is to avoid them entirely. The Word of God says this, the wise man foresees a problem and avoids it.
Amen.
The foolish goes on his way and suffers. Well, see, the wise man knows, I do not need to be in strife. I can't. Let me check my checkbook. Nope, can't afford it. Put it back in. I love you, honey. That's how it's supposed to be, amen? The wise man foresees problems in his body. Let's just say, oh, here we go. Let's see, I can be proud of. No, I'm not going to. No. And, oh, my body. Oh, wait a minute. I changed my mind. Yes. Get wise about it.
Yeah.
Avoid these things. See, I'm just telling you what the Word says. If we follow the Word and do what the Word says, the way the Word says to do it, we'll have what the Word says we can have when we follow the Word and do what the Word says the way the Word says to do it. But if I get a box of something, you know, like a box of brownies or a cake or something, you know, I follow the instructions. Do you know why? Because I want what it looks like on the box. I've learned what happens when I don't follow the instructions. It does not come out like it looks on the box. And it doesn't taste that way either. And so I follow the instructions. Amen. Well, I do the same thing with the Word. I found out that by taking the Word and not following the instructions, I had a whole lot of stuff that were not part of that recipe. Amen. And then I found out the reason why is because I wasn't following the recipe. Go back to the recipe. Let's get the recipe right. Amen. I'm going to show you some things that are probably going to shock you. We'll just move forward a little bit to Psalm 26. Why does God allow us to be tested, tried, persecuted, afflicted? When I first started putting this teaching together, I didn't realize how much the body of Christ didn't know till God showed me. And the way He showed me was just by showing me the things that I need to teach. Psalm 26, look at verse 2 in Psalm 26 in the Amplified. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Everybody say, prove me.
Amen.
Try my reins in my heart. Anybody want to take a guess as to what they think the word prove and try means? Test.
Challenge me.
Is that what it says? Shouldn't that be our cry? You know, folks are afraid to do that. Examine me, Lord. Prove me. Try my reins in my heart. Try me. When was the last time you asked the Lord to do that? You know, as a pastor, in order to even come into the office of a pastor, I spent a lot of time saying to the Lord, try me. Prove me, test me, examine me, show me where I'm missing it. I need to know. Not even as a pastor, but just as a Christian. I just got tired of walking in that place of lack of power, lack of victory, lack of understanding, lack of anything. I just got tired of it. And I said, look it, if I'm missing it, I need to know it. And I need to know where, and you need to show me. And if I don't listen, show me again. And if I don't listen, show me again. And if I don't make it that time, show me again. Do what you have to do, but I need to know. Because I don't want to go through this life broke, sick, busted, oppressed, depressed. I don't want to go through life this way. And it might be hard, but I need to know. See, because we want to overcome. So I want to get through this. Listen, I'll tell you what I learned a long time ago. I'd rather spend a few minutes in pain to get through the thing. So I don't have to deal with it. Okay, do what you got to do. Anybody ever had a root canal? Well, then you understand. You go through a few minutes of pain to get rid of the pain. Is that right? You may not like it, but you do. You know, it's kind of like when you get a splinter. You don't want to leave that thing in there and get infected. Well, all right. Well, you know, how many of you know it hurts just as much to take it out as it does going in? Sometimes it hurts more. But, you know, you got to deal with it. We got to deal with this thing. And it may hurt a little bit, but we got to deal with it. Examine me, Lord. You know what it say? I love the way it says it in the Message Bible. It says it this way. Examine me, God, from head to foot. Order your battery of tests. Make sure I'm fit inside and out. Go ahead, order your battery of tests. Go ahead, send them. Let's go. Put me through it. Just to make sure I'm fit inside and out. To be proven. You know that God, whether you like it or not, proves each and every one of us. How does He do it? God tests us. He doesn't tempt us, but He tests us. Hello, friends. This is Reverend Slide Moran, and I hope that you've enjoyed the message so far. We'll return to it in just a moment, but before we do, did you know that it's because of the generous offerings from folks just like you that enables us to provide these messages to you and to others all throughout the world for free? Friend, I know that you love God and that you're seeking, just as we are, to spread the gospel. So won't you consider helping us as we continue to fulfill the Lord's command to preach the gospel to all the earth? No offering is too small, and every dollar helps us to reach more and more people. So whether you wish to become a regular partner or just a one-time love offering, I want you to know that every single dollar helps. No amount is too small. You can send your offering online by visiting our partner page. Just go to www.BibleCities.com and click the donate button. You can even send your love offering by mail to Bible Cities Christian Fellowship, P.O. Box 40, Gettysville, New York, 14068 in the USA. Our mailing address can also be found in the BibleCities.com partner section. Just click the link that says Donate by Check or Money Order. Thank you for your love and your generosity, and may God richly reward you for your faithful obedience. Now, let's get back to the message. You know that God, whether you like it or not, proves each and every one of us. How does He do it? God tests us. Remember when Jesus was sitting there with the multitude, the disciples came to Him and said, hey, these guys are hungry. What should we do here? I mean, send them away. They're hungry. They haven't eaten in a couple days. And if you read it, Jesus said this. He said, well, what do you think we should do? And Jesus said this to prove them, to test them. For He knew what He would do. He knew what He was going to do, but He wanted to see what they thought should be done. He did it to prove them, to test them, to give them an opportunity to say, Lord, all things are possible. I know that this is not a problem for you. Nothing is too difficult for you. You've told us you could feed and provide for us. How do you want us to help you get this done? But that was not their response. Should we go buy something? Amen. Jesus said it to test him. Amen. Praise God. Turn forward, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 3. You may think that this doesn't apply to you, but I caution you, because the Word of God tells us that we, each and every one of us, have been made able ministers, ambassadors for Christ. Each and every one of us. Whether you're in the fivefold ministry or not. Most people skip by this because, well, they figure, well, this is just for the ministry. Well, the Word of God tells us that He gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, and evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. The whole reason the saints are supposed to be perfected is for what? The work of the ministry. We're all in ministry. You understand that ministry means to serve. So when we read this, even though we can see some things that are applying to specific offices, understand that this applies to us, to every one of us. Amen? And 1 Timothy, praise God, chapter 3, verse 1 says this. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, an overseer, in other words, he desires a good work. But the overseer, the bishop, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, able to teach, not given to wine, not a striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, or covetous. Well, praise God that these are good qualities to have for everybody. Amen? If you think that doesn't apply to you, go ahead and ask your wife how many wives she thinks you should have. It does. Praise God. Glory to God. Verse 4, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave. Brother Allen, Deacon Allen, look up here. Let me see you be grave. All right, praise God. He's very grave, deacon. Likewise, deacons must be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of money, holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. And now here's what I wanted you to see. Got through all that so we could see verse 10. In addition to all of that, it says this in verse 10. Let these also first, what? Be proved, be tested. In the Amplified, it says it this way. Let them be tried and investigated and proved first. Do you understand that before promotion comes, there will always be proving. There will always be testing. See, people want to be promoted into the things of God. Now, I'm not just talking about ministry. Let's say finances. Folks want God to give them stewardship over something greater than what they already have. They want increase. Amen? Who doesn't? Praise God. Isn't that right? But Jesus told us in regards to these things, he talking about money itself, he said, if you are not faithful in the very little, you will be unfaithful in much. Which means what? We're going to be tested first on what we have. To see what we do with what we have, with the little bit that we have. And we're going to have to be proven faithful with that. Not just today. Praise God, I passed the test. Yeah. I have no idea how long that proving will go on. All I know is that God says we must be proved faithful. Faithful is not a one-time deal. And do you understand, it does not take faith when everything is good, everything is great, there is no problem, we can do it in our own ability. You know, you don't need faith for healing when you're healthy. You need faith for healing when you're sick. You know, you don't need faith as far as being faithful with your finances when you've got more than enough of everything. It's when you don't have enough. What are you doing then? What are you doing with what you've got then? Because see, most folks aren't faithful then. I said most folks aren't faithful then. They're willing to give big when they've got big. But they're not so willing to give big when that's all they got. That's the truth. We have to be proven faithful. See, because Jesus told us right out. He said, listen, if you're not faithful in the unrighteous mammon, the money, who's going to trust the true riches? The things that you really think are valuable. And see, Jesus looked at the little things. See, we ignore the little things. Well, you know, it's only a dollar. Jesus is looking at that dollar and saying, that dollar means a whole lot more to you than you think. Amen. Let them first be proved. Why does God allow these things? To prove us. You understand that's not a bad thing. Do you understand that when you were in school, every year, at the end of the year, you were tested on everything you were supposed to learn so that they could find out whether you learned it or not. And they found out pretty quickly after the test was done whether you learned it. They knew right off. They don't know the answers here. We taught them all year long and they don't know the answer. And so what happened? Well, let's just graduate them anyway. Well, no. You don't graduate. You don't get to go to second grade until you pass first. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. But when it comes to the things of God, you can guarantee it. You're not going anywhere until you learn this. This is the thing that's got so many folks stuck in a rut. Christians, they're stuck in a rut. The reason why is because they don't learn what they're supposed to learn. They're being taught. Then the test comes. They fail the test. So now they have to go through the same thing again. And they don't learn what they're supposed to learn. So when the test comes, they don't pass the test. So now they got to go through the same thing again. And the reason why is because you've got to learn what you're supposed to learn. And then the test is going to come. And so many folks think they know it and they learned it when they really didn't. I know, Pastor. How many times are you going to say that? I'll say it until you get it. I'll say it until you pass the test. It's not whether you think you know it, it's whether you pass the test. If you don't pass the test, you don't pass the test. You don't go forward, I got to teach you again. I don't mind, I'll keep on teaching you. That's why the Lord put me here. Amen. But you know, some folks get tired of hearing the same thing over and over. Yet the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing it over and over. Well, I don't want to hear it again. Well, why? Well, because I know it. Well, maybe, but you haven't passed the test. Yeah, but I know it. Well, you're not passing the test. Well, I think I have. Okay. That's between you and God. You're going to have to go through it again. Sorry. The Word of God says, let him first be tested. Let him first be proved. Amen. God tests us. He proves us. He doesn't tempt us. Word of God says, let no man say that he's tempted of God. God doesn't tempt us, but he does test us. How many of you are familiar with Luke chapter 4, where when Jesus came out of the Jordan after being baptized with the Holy Ghost, it says, the Spirit of God, led him in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, to be tested. God led Jesus into a hard place for one purpose, to be tested. Well, I don't want to be tested. You might as well leave the planet then. Give up and go, because you're going to be tested. I mean, that's what, and you know, when you get to heaven, you're going to have to learn it. The Word of God says, not one jot, not one tittle will pass away till all is fulfilled. If he said, let him first be tested, then you're going to be tested. And that's all there is to it. People think that, you know, heaven is just this, is this communistic society where everybody's the same. That's what they think. The Word doesn't teach that. Well, we're all the same. No, we're not. That's not what the Word says. The Word says that we'll differ in glory as the stars in heaven. There are some that are going to have crowns and rewards, and there's some that aren't. Amen. There are some that are going to be in greater positions of authority than others. And that means that those that are under authority are going to be submitted to their rule. And that's all there is to it. You understand, there isn't chaos and anarchy in heaven. I mean, God is God. And even during the millennium, the Word of God tells us that Jesus is going to rule with an iron hand. In other words, I'm not brooking any nonsense. This is the way it is. Do it. You mean it's not going to be a commune where there's all butterflies and rainbows? Well, there will be butterflies and rainbows. But Jesus isn't some hippie leader, you know. I mean, that's just not the way it is. Amen. We got to learn the truth. See, we got to read what the Word of God says. Let him first. Does it say let him first? Did you notice that the Word of God tells us that in order for us to be fit for promotion, we are going to be proven. We're going to be tested. This is why God allows these things. But turn backwards to Deuteronomy, if you will. Praise God. Now, we'll take a look at this and then close. See, if we can understand these things, we won't be so adverse to the test when it comes. Do you know I got healed by knowing this? I was undergoing a very, very painful affliction. And man, I was confessing every healing scripture I knew, you know, repeatedly, because I hurt. Now, I'm not talking about the heart thing now. This happened before the heart thing. That was just preparing me for the heart thing. And I thank God, too. But anyway, and I was in pain. I mean, and I was, man, I'll tell you what, going through my Bible from Exodus all the way through, reading every healing scripture I could, praise God. And I was in a lot of pain. Oh, man, was I in pain. And nothing was working. Well, let me say it this way. It wasn't manifesting. I'll say it that way. It was working, but it wasn't manifesting, okay? And so this went on weeks. It went on the first week, and then the second week. And oh, man, oh, man, oh, man. And was like, come on. I mean, come on. Come on now. I kicked this thing off. I commanded the thing to go. I did everything I know to do, believing in faith. And I just could not understand why that thing would not go. I just wasn't getting it. I believe Ecclesiastes 11:10 that says, cast off the trouble of your body. Cast them off. Get them out of there. You've got authority over this. So I believe it, man. I'll tell you what. I told that thing, get off of me. And it just refused to go like a stubborn dog, you know. Just, I'm not moving. And if anybody's ever seen our little dog, when he's not going to move, he just kind of plants himself and you just kind of pull him along with the leash and he just slides, you know, because he's not, I'm not moving. I'm not going anywhere. That's all there is to it. And he just stops. No. And that's how this thing was. Amen. And so I'm just praying in tongues. How many of you know you should pray in the Spirit? Because the Word of God tells us that that's one way wisdom comes. You could read Isaiah 28 and get a lesson out of that. Amen. Praise God. However, so I'm just praying in the Spirit and just, you know, man, I'm just glory to God, you know. And then out of my spirit came 1 Peter. Don't you know that the trying of your faith, the testing of your faith, though it be tried by fire, being more precious than gold. Don't you know that this testing has come to prove the genuineness of your faith? And it hit me. I'm being tested. It's just a test. All this is a test. Now, see, you might think that the sickness or the pain it was testing my faith in regards to what I believed regarding casting off the sickness and the pain. That wasn't the problem. Because what I was doing at that point during this whole time is I had a bottle of ibuprofen. Pain inhibitor, you understand. And the opportunity to go to a doctor and have them, or actually go to a dentist and have that thing taken care of. And every day, I weighed my options every day. Do I go to the dentist or do I stand in faith? Every day. But every day was the option. The option was there every day. Amen. The choice was there every day. Well, I'll tell you what, when you've got an abscessed tooth, because that's what it was, you know what pain is. And this had gone on for a couple weeks, and that abscess wasn't getting any smaller, and it wasn't getting any less. It hurt. Praise God. I didn't say much. Because the Holy Ghost said, don't you know you're being tested? You don't understand that God was allowing me to be tested. How? Well, see, I had to make my decision. Is it going to be the dentist, or is it going to be God? Make your decision. Make your choice. Decide. Which one is it going to be? What does it say in Isaiah? How long will you be between two opinions? What are you going to do? Now, I'm not saying there's something wrong with dentists. I'm not saying that at all. It's just that I wasn't believing for the dentist. I was believing for God. But I kept the dentist as an option. Because if this gets any worse, I'll go to the dentist if I have to. Well, see, now, that's not believing God. I said, that's not believing God. Because the Word of God says, if God is God, serve Him. If Baal is God, then serve Him. In other words, if the dentist is the answer, go to the dentist. But if God is the answer, forget it and get with God. And did you know that's when I made my decision? I am not going to the dentist for this thing. Period. God is well able. Well able. Did you know the next day that abscess was gone?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because I made my decision. See, I was going through a test, and I needed to know that I was being tested. I was being proven to see where my opinion would be, who I was going to look to. God allows us to be tested. I learned something. That lesson saved my life when I went through those heart problems. Amen. Saved my life, praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Did you know the Word of God tells us regarding the Old Testament, the law and the historical accounts of everything before the law, says that they are written to us as examples and for a warning, for admonishment, in other words. Do you understand that? Now, there are some things in the Old Testament, you understand, especially the things regarding the law, they're not written for our instruction. We're under grace. Do you understand that, right? Yet at the same time, there are principles involved that we can learn. There are warnings that we can take from individuals who don't follow the instructions of God, whether it be under grace or the law. And you understand that before the law, there was no law. Amen? So we're reading, by the way, out of Deuteronomy. Now look and see what it says here. We need to learn something from this because there is a principle. Are you ready? Praise God. Verse 1 in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Here is Moses speaking to the people and says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. Boy, there's a sermon there, isn't there? Praise God. Which the Lord swore unto your fathers. Praise God. Verse 2. And you shall earnestly remember all the way which the Lord led you these 40 years in the wilderness. Why? To humble you, what? And to test you to know what was in your heart. Don't you know that? Don't you think God knew what was in their heart?
Yeah.
He knew. They needed to get it. Amen? To know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. Why did God lead them for 40 years in the wilderness? To humble them and to prove them, to test them. Amen. In other words, to teach them to trust God. Do you understand that these tests, God allows them. The ones that God allows. And God allows anything that we allow. There are some things we can avoid. But there are some things that God allows specifically for the sole purpose of seeing to it that we learn what we need to learn. Because we need to learn it. Look at down to verse 11. Now here it's talking specifically about material blessing. Because if you read everything before that, it talks about how God is bringing them into a marvelous, wealthy place. Amen? Praise God. But this can be applied to everything. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God in keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, that your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness. How many of you are excited about the great and terrible wilderness? Where were fiery serpents and scorpions? How many of you know that in our life, there are going to be serpents and scorpions? How many of you know that? But Jesus said, behold, I give you authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, praise God. Where there were serpents and scorpions, where drought was, where there was no water, who brought you forth or brought forth water out of the rock of flint, who led or fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers knew not. And why? Verse 16, so that He might humble you and prove you to do you good at the latter end. Why does God test us and prove us? To do us good. Remember Psalm 26, verse 2? Examine me, Lord. Prove me. Go ahead. Make me fit inside and out. In other words, get me to the place you want me to be. And seeing as how His plans for us are always good, the place He wants us to be is good. Go ahead. Order them up. Do what you got to do. Test me and prove me. Let me tell you something. If you ask God to do that, you better be serious. You better be serious and you better be ready for some things. And I can tell you from personal experience, I'm telling you, He will. He'll bring them on. But we need to be excited about that. That's why Peter, writing about these things, said this. He said, rejoice. Rejoice, even though now for a little while you might be in heaviness through manifold trials, knowing this, that the trying of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, though it be tried by fire, will result to the glory, of God at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. In other words, when the Word of God is manifested in your life, when the blessing is there, we can thank God for these tests. We don't need to be afraid of the things. See, because if they're coming from the devil and they're not of God, we can rebuke them. We can overcome the thing. Amen? But God will allow them for our good. Amen. This is good news. See, if we know this, then we know that we can overcome them. Because if God allows it, you understand that God told us this in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He said, there is no test, there is no trial that God will allow to come upon you that you can't handle. And with every test and every trial that comes, He will provide a means of escape. He's faithful to do that. Amen. The question is do we pass the test? See, we'll know whether we passed the test by whether we escaped it. Amen? And we're going to be talking more in detail over the next several weeks about how to actually overcome all of these things when they come. Different things that we can do to overcome them. Things we need to know. Because we need to know how to do this, right?
Yes,
it's not enough to know, well, praise God, God is testing us. Well, great. How do I pass the test? I want to know, how do I pass? I need the answers. Amen? Thank God he's given them to us in his word, right? Let's take a minute and thank God. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for showing us. Thank you for wisdom and revelation. Thank you for teaching us on this subject. We need to know this stuff. And Father, you told us, Father, that you allow these things for our good. You told us that you test us and prove us to do us good in the latter end, Father God. Hallelujah. We thank you. And so as the psalmist, we say, go ahead, examine us. Try us. Try the reins of my heart. Go ahead. Order up your battery of tests. Do whatever you have to do, but make us fit and able, Father God. And we trust you, Father. We trust you that you'll never allow anything to come against us that we can't handle. And with every test, with every trial, with every temptation, you provide a means of escape, a way of escape. And so we thank you for it. We're no longer afraid of these things, but whether we rejoice, knowing that the trying of our faith, being much more precious than gold, even though it might be tried with fire, is for a purpose, for our good. And so we thank you for it. We give you praise, glory, honor, and thanksgiving for all that you showed us today, glorifying your name. Thank you, Father, that the word had free course. Thank you, Father, that the word was glorified. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, you can say amen.
We trust that this message has ministered to you. For the rest of this series, as well as other inspirational messages by Reverend Slide Moran, please visit our website at www.biblecities.com.